Please stand if you're able to do so. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. She who believes in me will live, even though she die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Please be seated. On behalf of Well Street United Church, may I welcome you to this occasion on which we gather to mourn the death, yes, but also to celebrate the life of Sylvia Mary Delenty. The fact that there are so many here today is already a tribute to Sylvia and the esteem in which we all held her. It goes without saying, really, that we are pretty packed today, and apologies to those of you who will have to stand. We can say it really is standing room only. But in the circumstances, I just want to remind you, if there is a need to evacuate the building, the way out is the same way that you came in. And please just proceed in as orderly a fashion as you need to. And we will help those that need that help. But hopefully, that won't happen. Sylvia was the widow of the late Richard Delenty and stepmum to Sean. And I know from conversations that I had with Sylvia over the years, Sean, that she was very fond of you for all that you have achieved and for being yourself. Sylvia herself was someone, wasn't she, of whom it was easy to be fond, always smiling, always chatty, always interested in us, although possibly we found it hard to get a word in edgeways. As we shall hear, Sylvia had a deep faith in Jesus Christ as her Saviour and a lifelong involvement in the Methodist Church. She knew that, as Psalm 139 says, that all of the pages of her life were written in God's book before one of them came to be. When it became clear to her that her life was drawing to an end, she was philosophical. I've had a good innings, she said to me, and probably to many of you. The hymns we shall sing today and the reading of Psalm 139 that we'll hear in a while were all chosen by Sylvia for this occasion. So I pray that we may find comfort and hope in them as we hear about her life, as we give thanks to God who is here with us, who holds the keys of life and death and life forevermore. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. May we all know his comfort and love today. The Apostle Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he gave us new birth into a living hope. Let us pray. Lord God, your love is stronger than death. By you, we are all being brought to life. Help us as we hear the promises of your word today to believe them and to receive the comfort they offer. You are the giver of hope. Fill us with joy and peace in believing. that our fears may be dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn, you'll find, of course, all the hymns on your hymn sheets, if you have them. If not, please look over someone else's shoulder. Our first hymn is How Great Thou Art. So please stand if you're able and sing if you feel able to do so. And now Sylvia's friend and near neighbour Delia is going to read to us from Psalm 139.
Sylvia's favourite psalm, she shared with a lot of us here. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there too. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance wasn't hid from me when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are my thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in numbers than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Such was Sylvia's attention to detail that the translations of the readings were chosen by her as well. So that one, the Authorized Version. And when I read in a while, we will move to the Good News Version of the Bible, a more modern translation for 1 Corinthians 13. So Sylvia could do ancient and she could do modern, and the next hymn that she's chosen for us to sing is a modern version of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord's my shepherd, I will trust in you alone. So again, please stand if you're able. Do please take a seat. I think whilst I remember, can I just speak about the close of this service? The close of this service, I will proceed with Sylvia and the funeral directors to her burial. That is a private burial, but we do invite you, perhaps at a later date, if you want to go and pay tribute at the graveside, to do so in Maidsmorton Churchyard. But you are welcome to stay in this place for tea and cake. We may need to do a little bit of reorganising of chairs and the like at the time to make it more conducive to drinking cups of tea, really, and eating cake. So do please stay, and I'll join you back here when I can. But please take that time if you want to talk with Sean or with others who are here, who will be remaining here also at the close of the service. And just to say, of course, you can make donations in Sheila's memory. That can be done by scanning the QR. Sylvia, oh dear. Sorry to all you Sheilas out there. Not trying to finish you off prematurely, but it starts with the same letter and ends with the same letter, doesn't it? There is a QR code, as so often there is these days, but also there is a box, which I think will be just underneath the kind of various leaflets over there. Okay. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The writer of Psalm 139 has the conviction that there is nowhere that we can go that is not in God's presence. No way that we can depart from God's purposes. And no doubt that the love of God surrounds us always. We may try and run, but God is always there. All the days of our lives are written in God's book before one of them comes to be. And yet it is what we do with our lives and how we make them count. That is up to us. And I think that Sylvia was someone who did just that. She made her days count. Sylvia was born on 7th of August 1939, the daughter of Dorothy and William Howe, and lived firstly in Tombs Yard, Buckingham. In 1946, Anthony was born, a brother to Sylvia, but sadly he only lived for 10 days. Further sorrow was to follow a few years later when Sylvia lost her father to TB when she was only 10 years of age. In due course, Sylvia and her mum would move to a flat in Hunter Street and then onto Oban Avenue. Sylvia went to the Well Street Junior School, just down the road from here, of course, and on to the Buckingham Senior School, as it was then called. She and her mother were very involved in the Methodist Church on this site, an involvement that continued as the church was rebuilt in the 1960s. And as we became a partnership of Methodist, United Reform, and then Baptist Church in the 1980s and early in the 2000s. She became a Sunday school teacher and was very much a part of other church activities. In the 1960s, she was closely involved in the fundraising for the new building as she sang with the choir and performed silly sketches for the cause in local chapels. Her pièce de résistance, performed with her great friend Barbara, was The Fireman. And perhaps Barbara might give us that as a monologue later on. As teenagers, Sylvia, Barbara, and Barbara's sister Thelma went to a weekly Methodist guild meeting, though Barbara tells me they were not the angels they were thought to be. If you want stories of that, ask Barbara later, and I will definitely be doing that. On leaving school, Sylvia worked as a retail assistant for Vile's store in Castle Street and later for Foreman's, the local jeweller in West Street. But it's probably working in Boots the Chemist, for which she will be most known, and eventually she worked there in the pharmacy, which she very much enjoyed. Outside of work, Sylvia served as a brown owl for many years, and she continued to meet up with friends from those days with the Trefoil Guild, and I suspect some of you are here today. Barbara tells me that Sylvia's mum did not enjoy the best of health, which meant that Sylvia had to be with her for a lot of the time. If Sylvia was going out on a date, Barbara's mother would go and sit with her mother so that she could go. It seems that Sylvia played hard to get, but eventually she found the love of her life in Richard de Lenti. I want to read the famous passage on love now from 1 Corinthians 13, which speaks of how we should love before Sean picks up the story in a moment. So 1 Corinthians, actually starting at the end of chapter 12. Best of all is the following way. I may be able to speak the languages of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned. But if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I am an adult, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Sean, come and share with us, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's lovely to see you all here. Okay. So, let's continue the story. In the early 1970s, I went for a walk around Maids Morton with my dad, Richard de Lenti. We sought refuge from the freezing rain in St. Edmund's Church, and as my dad prayed, I made a beeline for the pulpit and read from the Bible. Dad suggested that one day I might deliver speeches for real, maybe even from a pulpit. In 1996, I delivered a eulogy here in Buckingham for my father. Prior to his passing, we spent many hours together, talking of the past, of the future, and of Syl's future well-being after he had gone. I made a promise to be there for her at the end, and indeed I was. It was a privilege to witness her dignity, courage, and good humour, even in her last days. But let not Syl's story be defined by its ending, but instead by what she brought into the world and how she touched so many lives. A wonderful, kind-hearted lady, wrote one friend on the Heritage's memorial website. A lovely, selfless person One of a kind, wrote another, and I fully concur. Sylvia Mary Delenty, or Sylv to me, first appeared in my childhood via Brownies and Cubs and Scouts. Dad was an ex-naval officer and serving Maids Morton Cub Scout leader. Thus, our very large garden served as a venue for Brownies, Cubs and Scouts to secure their various badges. It was at one such event in the mid-1970s that I first met Sylv. She seemed very tall and very nice. By 1977, I was living alone with Dad. My biological mum lived in Leicester. Dad and I forged a close bond, both as father and son, and as best mates. By early 1978, however, I gained a kindly new babysitter called Sylvia. She read to me, we toasted marshmallows by the fire, we watched Armchair Thriller together, and she gave me cowpole when I was poorly. Interestingly, around this time, my dad suddenly experienced a wide variety of ailments that required daily walks down to Boots in Buckingham. He didn't drive. To the pharmacy, to be exact, to one Sylvia Howe. And soon, our Boots visits also involved romantic cards, flowers, and dinner invitations. In time, Dad sought marriage approval from Dorothy Howe, Sylv's mum, who frankly terrified Dad and me. I believe he eventually took flowers for her and threw himself gallantly onto one knee. And that seemed to do the trick, and so it came to pass that Sylvia Howe became Sylvia Delenty. Sylv, I'd gained a stepmother. Now, the only reference I had for stepmothers at this point was from Snow White. So I was a little bit trepidatious. However, excuse me, Sylv expressed no expectations for me to think of her as a pseudo-mother figure. Instead, she simply, and with great kindness and wisdom, sought only to be a lovely, grounded friend, albeit one who once threw pastry across the kitchen after a bake-off-style disaster, accidentally hitting my shocked father on the forehead. Until Christmas 1979, we all lived together. We undertook trips around the country to Swanage, Somerset, Devon, and the new McDonald's at Milton Keynes Shopping Centre. From my child perspective, Dad and Sylv's relationship was incredibly tight-knit, and in all honesty, and with no disrespect at all, as it became tighter and more entwined with their faith, as a child I felt as if I was a bit of a gooseberry, a bit apart. So I also missed my biological mum, and very reluctantly I left Maids Morton in 1979 to go and live with mum in Leicestershire. However, school visits and school holidays enabled me to come and revisit Maids Morton and spend time with Dad and Sylv. And over time, I grew from being a very shy child to a youth, a teenager, with all of the chemical and emotional challenges that being a teenager can bring. I'd always known that I was gay, and when in 1987 this was revealed to my family, out of all of them, Sylv was the most supportive of all. Never making me feel rejected or judged, she simply treated me as kindly as she had always done, because she would. If she had a particular faith-based viewpoint on who I was, she certainly never voiced it to me. She loved my first long-term partner, David, and spoke very fondly of him until the end of her life, and similarly, my husband of 9 years, Michael. I was thrilled when she was able to attend our wedding in 2016 at the Houses of Parliament with her friend Sally. It was the best day. As I went about my life, so did Dad and Sylv. They ventured from Gibraltar to Singapore, their love and faith affording them many joyful connections in this country and overseas. When working as an actor, that's me, they travelled to see me on stage. When I gained my teaching degree, they were equally supportive. But in 1994, my dad was sadly diagnosed with lung cancer. Dad and Sylv refused to let illness define their last few years together. And Sylv calmly, bravely, and loyally supported his journey right until the end. Dad passed with us both by his side at Stoke Mandeville in July 1996. Losing Dad impacted Sylv far more than I think she ever let on. But Sylv was not one to wallow in self-pity. Instead, she strove to keep his memory and legacy alive every single day, whilst staying busy herself. Sills' dispensing work at Boots and latterly Steeple Claydon afforded her structure, connection, meaning and distraction through her widowed years. And her passing reveals the huge legacy she leaves across several generations of local people, from her 40 years at Boots to her service as a Brown Owl and work in faith communities. In 2000, I moved to London, beginning a journey into education that led me from being a class teacher to being a school leader and ultimately into advocacy around the world on behalf of LGBT plus young people. Throughout this often challenging journey, Sylve was an unwavering source of support, with her level-headedness and sense of humour helping me through some of the challenges that I faced. She was thrilled when I collaborated on an anti-homophobia school resource with the Church of England and Lambeth Palace, and I got a sense from Sylve that she regarded my advocacy adjacent to the values of kindness and care for others that is inherent in her own faith. Despite ailing health, she made an effort to come and watch me speak at Buckingham University for Amnesty International. And when I was awarded an honorary doctorate, Sylve was the first person to call me up and tell me, you know, your dad would be really proud of you, and I am too. And as a younger woman, Sylve had been an activist herself. She'd marched as the Aldermaston marches against nuclear weapons. So I think we both shared a sense of righteous indignation and a feeling that we both have a moral duty to take positive and kind and compassionate action. Sylve was a doer as well as a talker. My only point of difference with Sylve was of the feline variety. Sylve was known to some of you as the crazy cat lady, and she was indeed crazy about cats. Sadly, I am massively allergic to cats and actually have an EpiPen, and this sometimes actually made visiting Sylve quite difficult. In later years, I suspect Sylve's involvement in the Trefoil Gill, lace making, bell ringing, serving lunches for those with dementia and caring for others, as well as driving people to where they needed to be at the age of 84, sometimes came at a cost to her own time and her own health. However, for Sylve, nothing was too much trouble, even as her health started to fail her. Last year, Sylve was diagnosed with bowel cancer, and a major operation nearly ended her story there and then. But she fought back valiantly. After a long stint in Milton Keynes Hospital, which she hated, we got her to Buckingham Hospital, which she loved. And many of her loyal friends were able to come and visit her, and it brought her great joy. She also made good recovery and came home and lived downstairs with the very kind help of neighbours and friends. And in discussion with myself and doctors, she ultimately declined chemotherapy, a brave decision, but one that she stood by right until the end. Sylve fully accepted that she was living on extra time. Characteristically, though, she thought more of the impact of her illness upon others than upon herself. Despite issues with her hip, shoulder, and Dave the stoma, as she called it, we could still occasionally go out for shopping and enjoy cream teas up at Stowe. Her rapid decline was tough for all concerned, but her humour and dignity prevailed right up until the end, as did her philosophical and practical perspectives. 86 is a good age and quite enough for me, she said. Sylvia died at home on October the 8th. As I promised my dad all those years ago, I was privileged to be by her side. I played her some favourite hymns and a recording and a video of my dad to help ease her onward journey back into dad's embrace. The outpouring of grief, cards, gratitude, cakes since Sylve's passed has been overwhelming, and I thank everyone for their kind words and thoughts. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to Exemplicare for their patience, their kindness, their support and compassion during Sylvia's last few days, to Sylve and to me. Every day she told me she loved you and trusted you, and that no other care company would do. You went above and beyond, and you still do. Thank you. Thanks to all the friends and family who helped to support Sylve in the last few weeks, and also to the staff at Milton Keynes and Buckingham Hospital. Along with Heritages, Sylvia and I planned today's funeral a few weeks ago, in accordance with her wishes. Thank you to Tim and to Sarah and to the Well Street Church community and to those of you who've baked cakes and come out today. Thank you for all being here to celebrate Sylve's lives, whether you have come near or far. Thank you. As I've alluded to, since her passing, it has become abundantly clear just how many generations of people in Buckingham and beyond have been touched by Sylvia's compassion, kindness, and humour. I suspect, as someone who's 2 years off being 60, that the world Sylvia was born into in 1939 was perhaps a tad kinder, more communal, more compassionate than the one we live in now. When the service ends, and we had tea and cake together, as we travel forwards into the future from this moment, let us all aspire to be more Sylve. Let kindness for others be Sylve's legacy. She would want us to fill the world with love. I think she would like that. Farewell, Sylve. Thank you for being you. And I'm glad you're now with Dad again. Give him a big hug for me. And love to you both.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sean. And so we come to the end of Sylvia's story. All the days of her life written in God's book before one of them came to be. Or do we? See, the Bible gives hope of more, and in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there's a wonderful description of a new heaven and a new earth in which God will wipe away every tear of his people, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Life on earth is often not easy, as verses like this remind us. But in the Christian faith, there is hope for life beyond the grave. It's said in Revelation that nothing impure will ever enter the new heaven and the new earth, and if things stopped there, none of us would make it, because we're all imperfect human beings. Yet there is hope through the one perfect human being who has ever lived, Jesus Christ, the man who is God. He came to show us how to live. He came to make the perfect sacrifice on the cross for all of our imperfections. He came as the Lamb of God. And when we choose to follow him, we find that he has chosen us for eternity, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The book of Sylvia's life is a good one. So far, isn't it? And it's going to get even better. Her life was not without a few challenges, not least the loss of Richard nearly 30 years ago. And yet, to adapt a thought from C.S. Lewis, it has only been the beginning of the real story. All her life on earth has only been the cover and the title page. Now, she begins chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. And I think that C.S. Lewis presents a wonderful view of an eternity stretching out before us. And Sylvia was grateful for the life on earth that she had, not least the extra time after her stay in hospital last year. But she knew that the best is yet to come through the hope that she had in Jesus. And we too can know the hope of our stories continuing into eternity as we follow her example by following Jesus, seeking to live life his way, but knowing that he has saved us anyway when we trust in him. We're going to sing now of what Jesus has done as we turn to our third hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I think this is a very well-known one, so I'm sure the singer will be even louder than it's already been. But once again, please stand if you're able to do so. And then after that, I'll invite you, if you'd like to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Living God, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was in the future went into the darkness of death, so that we might continue to hope and rise above despair. Thank you for his death, which has opened up the future for us. Thank you for his living among us now as risen Lord, leading us through death to undying life. Thank you that when we turn from our sins and turn to him, we receive his gracious forgiveness. And our stories become part of his story, not just now, but forever. Lord, we thank you for the story of Sylvia's life, for how she modeled love, kindness, acceptance, and faith. We thank you that she was a loving wife and stepmom and a loyal friend. May the example of her life inspire us also to do and to be likewise. We thank you too for the fortitude and courage with which Sylvia bore her illness. For her, any suffering is over. And we rejoice that she is now in the nearer presence of her Saviour, Jesus Christ, and reunited with her husband Richard in your love. We pray especially this day for Sean and for Mike in their loss, for Sylvia's cousins, for all of us who are glad to have known her as our friend. May we all know your arms of love wrapped around us and your perfect peace inside of us. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We have one more hymn to sing, and after this hymn, I invite you please to remain standing. We've just changed the order very slightly, perhaps from what's said there. We will have the prayer of committal after that hymn. And then there's a little tune from which those of you who are or were guides will be familiar with, I think, that we're going to hear played before a blessing, and then further music as we take Sylvia from the church for her final journey. So we sing, and again, this is an expression of Sylvia's faith. We worship a God who has died, but also a God in Jesus who is risen. And this is really an Easter hymn, a song of celebration and of victory. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. So please, again, stand if you're able to do so. And so we commit Sheila's body to the Lord. Sylvia, I'm doing it again, aren't I? Gracious God, by your power, you gave us life. And in your love, you are giving us new life in Jesus Christ. We entrust Sylvia Mary Delenti to your safekeeping in the faith of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died and rose again to save us and to bring us all to a joyful resurrection and the glory of your eternal kingdom. Amen. Rest eternal grant Sylvia, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon her. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.